The lead story in The Advocate today, Above the Fold, ex-Deke leader, I knew LSU was a problem. The former longtime executive director of the National Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity says the national organization has known for at least 30 years that LSU's chapter had severe problems and that those meant to supervise a fraternity within LSU knew of problems as well. After 9 members of the fraternity's chapter were arrested last week amid allegations they beat pledges with pipes, urinated on them, doused them with gasoline. Questions have simmered about whether university administrators knew about problems at Deke. This from Andrea Gallo, and she, if things go according to plan, will be with Leah Skeen tomorrow on our program. But we're joined now by Kennedy Walker, who is the news director of KLSU, hosts the Kennedy Show. She is on campus, and is there a lot of buzz about this right now on campus, Kennedy?
Absolutely. I think it's something that every single class that I walk into, they're like, did you hear about what happened to Deke? I think it's something that people are going to be talking about for a long time, at least until, you know, we find out if the gentlemen are charged.
When I was in school, there was a lot of hostility between fraternity members and those who weren't. I remember how they used to block off rows of seats at the stadium, and the rest of us had to get lesser seats.
They still do that.
They still do that. They still do that all these years later.
There's still sections, and like if you're sitting in their section, it's happened to my friends before. They were sitting there, and they would make them get up, and they're like, you're not a part of our sorority, so you can't sit here. And it's like a whole big deal.
Well, beyond that, this latest story involves criminal conduct, if accurate, and certainly these charges would not have been filed unless there was probable cause. But what in the world was going on? How could this have been going on without much attention before now?
I'm not sure. I like, you know, Stephanie was saying it's kind of just something that people know is happening. Like, I went to an all-girls private school in New Orleans, and all of them joined sororities. And they always tell me during Christmas breaks about, like, the hazing that happens with, you know, their boyfriends or their brothers. And it's like, why doesn't anyone turn them in? And they can never give me an answer. It's something that everyone knows happens, but I don't think anyone knew it was to this extent of people being beaten with pipes and being urinated on. I don't think anyone thought that was happening.
Well, most of the attention the Deeks would get would be from hanging those banners before LSU games, but this goes way beyond that.
And even the banners, I thought they were awful, awful things that they would say. I think one said, what do Mike and Asia have in common or something like that? And it's like the most racist things. And everyone wonders, like, why doesn't LSU do anything? And it's sad that the banners, you know, they themselves couldn't get them in trouble. It took something like this to get them kicked off.
Kennedy Walker, who is an LSU student, you're in your
senior year. Getting out of here May 10th.
Okay, so yeah, this is your graduating semester, and this will be known as the semester in which the Deeks were thrown off campus. How long will it last? How long should it last? And this kind of behavior is not unique to the Deke fraternity. It's going on in other places. We'd like to hear from you. 877-217-5757 as we continue the discussion with Kennedy Walker. Now the news with Karen Henderson on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. We're talking about the problem with the Greek system at LSU, and I don't think that's an exaggeration to say there is a problem. It's not something that is going on at every fraternity house or sorority house, but there is a distinct problem that has been going on for 30 years with Delta Kappa Epsilon, and this comes from the director of the national chapter. Your thoughts, 877-217-5757. Kennedy Walker, the news director at KLSU, is with us, and we're joined by Henry at the Country Club calling in. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Miss Kennedy. Good morning, Mr. Jim. I hope y'all having a great rainy day today. I had a question that I haven't seen addressed. There have been some insinuations, and Mr. Jim, you know this as well as I do, some of the accusations been made about the Deeks over the years, because this has been going on for decades, maybe even a century, who knows. But we have accusations, I guess the easiest way to put it is accusations of boogery. And I was wondering if anybody has contacted or gotten a comment from either the local animal control center about those laws or even PETA.
All right. Well, there have been accusations, and this is something that has happened in other DEEC chapters around the country, and there is this code of silence. Have you heard anything to that effect about, I think what Henry's talking about is their mascot, the goat.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on?
Like how you said, the code of silence, you mention it and people at LSU, they just start laughing. So I think they know exactly what I'm talking about. But yeah, I read that in colleges all over the country, they would have some type of goat mascot in the house, and no one knows exactly what the goat is used for.
And this is an allegation that's been going on, and I don't know if it's true as far as the activities that might be going on with that goat, but there have been allegations of that kind, and the current allegations, though, the criminal charges do not involve anything like that. You know, dousing them with gasoline, urinating on them, throwing them on glass. Was this happening, to your knowledge, on the property of the DEEC house, or was this going on somewhere else?
The girl that I had speak on my show, she wanted to remain anonymous. She didn't specify, but I don't think it was in the house, at least for the part about gasoline. And what's mind-boggling is that, you know, in the story written by The Advocate, at least when I read it with the gas, they kind of made it seem like, you know, they would put gas on some of them and then they would rush them to the showers immediately. But the young lady that came on my show on Sunday mentioned that all of them would get gas poured on them, and it would kind of be like if they answered a question wrong, more gas would be poured on them, and then some of them had to keep lighters in their pockets, which is completely insane considering how flammable gasoline is.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to join Kennedy Walker of KLSU. She has the Kennedy Show on the campus radio station where yours truly worked many years ago when it was WLSU and then WPRG. But this is something that I'm sure is the talk of campus. And is there any indication that this kind of activity is going on elsewhere that we don't know about yet?
I mean, it's definitely possible now, you know, with all that's going on, everyone, the Greek, you know, the Greek life has already been on kind of the hush-hush since Max Gruber. And now since this whole DEEC story broke, everyone is silent. Mm-hmm. One of my friends who kind of helped me figure out, you know, who Max Gruber was when he passed away, who's in a sorority, I asked her about, you know, coming on to speak about DEEC, and she didn't even respond to my message. So I think I was told that they all received an email saying that they aren't allowed by any means to speak to anyone in the media about what's going on.
And you have requested that they come forward anonymously.
Yes.
And have you gotten any response?
No response yet. The girl that came on my show on Sunday, she's still trying to work with her friend so that he can feel comfortable to come on. So I'm hoping that, you know, he realizes it's a safe space and we don't have to say his name or anything like that, but just to come on and just tell his story and tell everyone what happened to him.
Now, you're about to graduate, and I may ask, what are you, 21 maybe?
21, yeah, 21. I mean, 22 in April.
Okay. Well, some of these gentlemen who are charged, they're much older than you.
Yeah, they were like 23. I saw
a tweet.
They're
on the extended plan.
Yeah, right? That's the tweet that I saw. I was like, they must be on the 5 to 7 year track. The fact that they're 23 years old and they're still here.
Well, that is interesting that some of them probably have lived in that house for quite some time, and now they are facing serious charges, and for good reason. And Steve Myers, who will be with us tomorrow, he says if they're guilty of what they're charged, they should go to jail. But he believes that shutting down the whole organization based on the actions of a few, in this case 9 accused, is not a good idea. Your thoughts?
I think this definitely, like, I disagree with that completely. I feel like, what if something happened with Max Gruber again? I mean, gasoline, what if someone had blown up? What if someone had gone blind? What if someone, like, I think they need to learn their lesson. And unfortunately, it kind of just happens where one apple spoils the bad, you know, spoils the whole bunch. Or in this case, 9 apples spoil the whole bunch. So I think, you know, people are just upset because, you know, doing the whole Greek life thing, they don't think that it's fair for everyone else to get punished, but that's the way life is.
Well, many of the most prominent people in Baton Rouge were members of that fraternity and turned out okay. And they speak, in most cases, glowingly about their experience. But let's hope, and I would think, almost certainly, nothing like this was occurring during their tenure at the Delta Kappa Epsilon House, which is right next to the Christ the King Church.
Yeah, how ironic.
Yeah. Well, the Deacs at LSU and in probably many other places, they've never had a black member in the history of the fraternity. That's also the case in almost all the fraternities and sororities at LSU. Segregation is sanctioned on state property, by the way. That's where those houses are located. Your thoughts about that?
It doesn't surprise me whatsoever. And honestly, you know, being an African-American myself, I would be, you know, if that happened to me, I would definitely be the whistleblower and blow everything up. Like, there's no way. And I think it's easy for people to say who aren't in the situation that it wouldn't happen, that, you know, if it happened to them, they would, you know, shut it all down. But definitely, it doesn't surprise me just going to, you know, LSU is a PWI, a powerful white institution. And it doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, there aren't any African-American members.
Well, it's a case in which we're living in 2019.
Yeah, most of my classes are like that, where I'm the only African-American.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a
at LSU, right now,
2019, I'm a journalism major at Manship School, and I can name at least three classes where I'm the only black student.
Are they large classes?
No, they aren't. And, you know, Manship School, I think we're like the second smallest on campus, so I guess that could be, you know, reasoning.
Sure, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no.
But LSU's got a long way to go, and I think most of us, all of us, probably can have some education on race and how it is permeating our society. But the fact that these fraternities and sororities are sitting on state property and they don't have any African Americans in most cases is unthinkable in this time. And it's not like black kids would not like to be parts of those fraternities and sororities. And LSU, at one point, has been one of the most diverse campuses in America. There are African Americans on campus, and of course there are people from all over the world who attend LSU. And it's a shame that they're not living together in the same space. 877-217-5757, Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on with Kennedy Walker.
Yes, Jim, great subject. How you doing, Ms. Kennedy?
Hi.
I guess socially we sometimes do segregate ourselves. Just as in traditionally black fraternities and sororities, which do immense community work, the Alphas, the Omegas, the AKs. But I have yet to ever see black, you know, white, AKA, Alpha or Omega. But the work continues. The work continues and the development needs to continue. But why is that so, even on the black fraternity side?
Why are black fraternities also segregated?
I think, honestly, because we weren't allowed in the white fraternities and sororities, so that's what happens with a lot of things. Like, oh, we're not allowed in your club, we'll come make our own. So I think that's where that sort of comes from. But, you know, it's not just, you know, I don't want people to think that it's just the white fraternities that haze, because the black fraternities definitely haze as well. My dad, both of my parents, they went to Southern University, which isn't that far away from LSU, and my dad was hazed badly.
At a black fraternity,
and he was left blind. Like, my dad is blind right now because of hazing. So that's
really
why, yes, it's so big in my family.
What did they do to him?
They, like, put rat poisoning, nail polish remover. They hit him on the back of the head with a frying pan and, like, a bunch of stuff. It was, like, in the early 90s, I would like to say, way before I was even thought of. The early 90s, and like, my grandparents had to rush him to the hospital and things like that. They slipped. He was at, like, some type of party that they do right before they, like, make the pledges official members. And he left his drink down, and he came back to pick it up, and they, like, roofied him and drugged him.
Were these people charged?
No, they were not charged. My grandparents, like, they went through the whole lawsuit process, but nothing ever happened. The university or something wasn't held liable.
And that's at Southern University and an all-black fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was, I forgot the blue one. I forgot what it was.
Anyway.
Sigma.
But we do have a ways to go when it comes to behavior. And, of course, in race relations, the LSU board, when Bobby Jindal was governor, had 18 members, as it does now, 17 white males and one black female. That was the diversity on the LSU Board of Supervisors under the leadership of Governor Bobby Jindal, a person of color himself. So we do have a ways to go.
Definitely.
Thank you, Kennedy Walker. And this is a story that has legs, so I'm sure we'll be calling you again soon. Thanks for coming in today.
No problem.
Skipping class to be with us.
Anytime.
All right. We'll be back after this time out with more Talk Louisiana on 89.3 WRKF.